Blog Talk Radio.
Hi out there, this is Andy Parker from UFO, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy and Jeff.
With Jeff and Tommy.
Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on Hard Rock and Sports.
Hey, rock fans, Mark Gutskopf and Trickster, hanging out my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom right here on Hard Rock and Sports. You listen, crank it up.
Hi, this is Vinny Appice, and you are listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, everybody, this is Ross the Boss, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hey, this is Tommy John. You're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hi, this is Mark Brenner, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on the Hard Rock and Sports Radio Show.
I can say it right now. I can say, this is Joe Satriani. You are listening to Hard Rock and Sports Radio with Tommy and Jeff. Go Jets!
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from Hyattop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. This is your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course the wide world of sports. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've had a great week. It's been okay. Started out, the end of last week was great, and the beginning of this week has been okay. I'm a little under the weather, and this is going to be a very short show tonight. Maybe about an hour. I'm fighting to stay on, but I wanted to get on. It's always great to hang with Jeff. I slept literally till I turned the mics on. So anyway, I hope you guys have had a great week. It's been a fun week. I had a couple good things happen, and we got a little bit to talk about tonight. Tom Brady, big announcement for Tom Brady in his second career. We'll talk about Antonio Brown ripping somebody, the Kentucky Derby, the Rangers, Yankees, Mets. Who's got the best pitching staff in baseball, or in New York at least? Jets and Giant win totals. We'll talk about members of Priest going into the Hall of Fame. We'll get to as much of that as quickly as we can in about an hour. Then we're going to call it a quiet night tonight. And get back next week. So, again, I hope you guys have had a good week. Stop, Matthew. Anyway, guys, tune in, sit down, buckle up, buttercup. Let's get the show started. And we bring on the backbone of the show, my dear friend, the czar himself, Mr. Jeff Towinski.
What is up, Mr. Butt Cutlass? What's going on?
It's not happening. So you can forget it. You can try all you want with your nicknames, and it's not happening.
It has already been done.
Oh, it's already done.
Stop it at this point.
You can't. It's beyond your control.
It's out of my hands.
Gotcha. Well,
Johnny John and whatever his name is, I forgot. I'd have to look back at it. And Tommy Butt Cutlets Florio.
And how come you get the czar? Like, why is that your?
Why?
Yeah.
I'm the czar, baby.
Folks. Well, listen. I'm not even gonna try to explain this one, folks. It's not even in the.
But listen to me.
Yes,
I got to take over this for a few seconds.
All right, help yourself.
There's something more important, bigger than the both of us, that has just been announced.
Really? Which is?
So I'm going to get it. I'm going to tell you where you could look for it, but I want to read it.
Go ahead.
Okay. I don't even know if you're ready for this.
I'm probably not tonight, but go ahead. You got to take a deep breath. All right, okay, get your deep breath.
Oh, iconic mockumentary Spinal Tap is getting a sequel.
Come on.
I swear to God. Blabbermouth.
I'm going to have to.
Marty Bergy has confirmed that this
hold on. That is huge news.
Will be this year. I'm sorry. Will be released for, I believe, 2024. I didn't even read the article. I was so excited.
Here it is. I got it up.
Quotes from the Bergy. There's turmoil in the band, which is going to, there it is, which is going to be the focal point, I believe, of the movie.
Wow, the news.
And, I think you can see a release date if you look in the article.
It says, we'll screen on the beach as part of Cannes on Wednesday, May 18th.
That already happened.
It says Wednesday, May 18th. Yeah, which is next week.
Is the sequel? You sure?
Well, here it is. Hold on. So it says, it's being screened at the Cannes Film Festival this Wednesday, May 18th. Now, Reiner, who will also be back in front of the camera as part of the documentarian, Marty DeBerge, told them that the plan is to release the new Spinal Tap movie on March 19th, 2024, in time for the 40th anniversary.
Don't make no plans that day.
Oh, I will tell you, much like the day I saw it and I cut out of school, I will cut out of work, and we will be at the theater. You will not get drunk this time. We will watch the movie together.
No. I'm here, and I think we may have to get everybody for this. We may have to call your brother.
Let me tell you something. This is huge news. I mean, I almost to the point it needs its own show at this point. Holy cow.
I'm telling you, you didn't expect this, right?
It's funny. I just looked on Blabbermouth this afternoon or last night, trying to grab a couple stories this afternoon, and this wasn't here. So this popped up, wow, late for so many years. Let's see, Jeff. As the new movie's premised, they've played Albert Hall, played Wembley, stayed all over the country and in Europe. They haven't spent any time together recently. The idea was that Ian Faith, who was their manager, he passed away. In reality, Tony Hendra passed away. Ian's widow inherited a contract that Spinal Tap owed them one more concert. She was basically going to sue them if they didn't all these years and a lot of bad blood. Well, we get into thrown back together and forced to deal with each other and play this concert. I'm partying money. The band was upset with the first film. They thought I had a hatchet job. This is a chance to redeem myself. God, this is great. Spinal Tap has become a cult classic. Let's see. Shoestring budget of $2 million. The 2 years of production. That's about, let's see. Spinal Tap was released in 1984 in the U.S. and U.K. The band was actually created in the late 1970s. The band's rock musicians, blah, 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 blah. This is huge news, Jeff. We could spend a half hour just right here. I mean.
Yes, I have to agree with the Black Sasquatch people, man. Superzar.
Yeah, I have to tell you. Yeah, Superzar, yeah. First off, Matt, it's very possible. Subway Series, Yanks and Mets are both playing great baseball. Mets could even get better with the return of DeGrom if that happens. Yes, the Jets rocked the draft. Much love for the Jets on what potentially we have to curry it, but right now, there is no bigger news in the hard rock and sports world than the return of the iconic mockumentary, Spinal Tap. I mean, I have to think, are all the characters coming back? Like, all the people who popped up in the movie coming back?
I, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
This is huge news right here. This is beyond huge news.
I'm telling you, I literally found it like 4 minutes ago before I didn't have time to investigate.
I mean, I can only hope that after this, there is a series of concerts with Spinal Tap playing to help promote this. So I can only pray to God.
That would be pretty cool now, wouldn't it?
March 19th, 2000. The sad part is we got to wait a year and change for this.
Yeah.
That's the sad part. But there's going to be a and I like the premise. I like the person in the movie. They have been hanging out. They have to play one concert. I hope, if there's one character that shows up in this movie, Jeff, beside the main guys, and we got to figure out who's the drummer.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Okay, if there's one of the outside characters that shows up, who's it got to be?
It's got to be Cindy.
Cindy being, David?
It was her first mustache.
Oh, my God. There's
so much to see and so many questions that are to be answered with this.
This is great.
I don't know where you are. You've been gone for a while, man.
Who's been gone?
You. You're not on the screen.
I'm not?
No, you have. I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I'm
you're
not
on the screen.
Oh, I know why. I know why. Yeah, hold on a second. There we go. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. This is big.
This is huge news. It's beyond big. This is huge news for anybody who doesn't know this. If you don't know this is big news for us, you need to not listen to this show anymore.
Two more days left of my jail sentence.
Two more days, that's it? Now, my dad's on the screen here. I got to find out why, because he should be getting in on the I want him to do on the video. I want to get the video working. Let's pick him up for a second.
38 hours.
Pop?
Yeah.
What's up, Pop?
Yeah, Tommy, I spoke to Edie. I went on the computer, and there's nothing that says
You got to go. I sent you an email.
Yeah.
You got an email?
Oh, it's an email. Hold up. Maybe that's my problem.
Yeah,
I'm not
sent
going
you
on
an
email
from me. Yeah.
Hold up. Here's my email. I just clicked on it. Oh, I was looking for it on a computer.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Hold up. Hold up. Capital News, Auto Insurance, Track Phone. Oh, here you are. Link to tonight's show.
Right.
Press on that.
Click on that, and then in the middle of the email is a little thing there. Click on that, and that should bring you to the studio.
Okay. Let's see.
We think we
continue on your YouTube. We're saying you are entering a broadcast studio.
Yep, there you go.
All right, so what do I hit on that? The YouTube?
Yep, hit on that. Whatever that link is I sent you in the middle of the screen, in the middle of the email, there's a little link. It's got a bunch of crazy letters.
All right, sign in for next.
Yep.
Okay, enter your password. Next. Verify it's you. Help you keep your account safe. Google wants to make sure it's really you.
You should be at the very okay. Click out of all of that. Go back to the email. On the email, on the bottom of the email, not the bottom, right in the where the words would start, there should be like a bunch of crazy letters.
I see. It says https / StreamYard.
Yes.
Calmly, that's what I hit before. Right. Hit that again?
Yeah, you should click that. It should take you right to the thing, right, Jeff? I mean, I've never done it.
Yeah, but I think you have to have an account, like something, like because you have to sign on through an account, either Facebook
or
YouTube.
Right. And then you continue with your You too.
All right, so I'll have to come over. We'll have to do it together.
All right, no problem.
All right, so click out of that, and we'll just talk on the radio, and then next week we'll get you on for this.
All right, I'm not going to hold you long. I see you guys are very excited about this Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Okay. What's going on?
I mean, I can understand it.
We cut out of school at 17 or 16.
I don't want to know what you did. Don't tell me, because then I got to tell your mother.
Jeff forced me.
I don't want to see you guys get in trouble.
Jeff forced me to cut out of school that day and go to this final time.
Oh, Jeff, I know. It had to be Jeff.
Telling you. It was
Jeff wouldn't do that, nah.
He was the best.
Jeff wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that, right, Jeff?
Jeff didn't start fucking up until his fucking 50s.
All right, look, I'll let you guys continue. Tell me, over the weekend you stop by and we'll...
Yep.
You show me what's got to be done, all right? I'll talk to you later.
All right,
take care, guys.
All right, that's my dad checking in. So, Jeff, this is huge news for us, man. I mean, the show is built around Spinal Tap. This could only mean new clips to play. If you think about some of the things that show up on the show and, you know, the iconic cucumber in the pants, Ghost to 11, can you hear the sustain? I mean, think about the new stuff that's going to come out of this.
Totally knows. It's going to be excellent. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Sadly, it's not going to be around till 2024.
Yeah.
Because we're around at 2024.
Yes, let's pray that we'll all still be here. But we're going to have to put the boys, once message out to the boys that there is no ifs, ands, or buts. We all have to go to see this together.
I just hope that, you know, it's so far away.
Yeah.
I hope nobody has a wedding or anything, you know.
That's March. That's a good part. So it's not like it's September or any of that stuff. So let's hope that... Nobody has an excuse to not be. I got you.
Right.
Well, either way, that is huge news. Something I'm sure for the next year and a half will come up quite a bit. I'm sure we'll get some breaking news from this Spinal Tap movie. So maybe some leaks.
Go ahead, keep going. I want to see if I could get a.
What are you gonna get?
A countdown on that.
Okay. Hard Rocket Sports, thanks for joining Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. It's going to be a short show tonight. I'm a little under the weather. I'm exhausted. But I didn't want to get on the air, and I'm really glad we did because I just couldn't wait till next week. So we would have had to do a whole nother show just wrapped around this at some point. So
now you're saying, what was that, March 19th?
Yep, 2024.
Well, we gotta get
Jeff's getting a countdown. We'll have a countdown clock each week. So
2024. One year, 10 months, 6 days, 4 hours, 41 minutes, and 44 seconds.
Well, we're going to count it down each week because this is huge.
This is just a preliminary clock. That just brings us to midnight.
Yes.
So actually the time that we actually sit in the seat is a little bit further away than that.
Yeah, this may have to be like a huge event for us. I don't know what day of the week that is. Let's hope it's a Saturday. But whatever the day of the week, March the 19th of 2024 is, Jeff, it needs to be a huge event. I'm talking dinners. You know, this is also we may have to go in costume.
Just to show you how big it is,
uh-huh.
I've got it broken down. 58,423,262 seconds. Okay, or 973,720 minutes and 53 seconds.
Wow.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Or one last one, 16,228 days. No, that can't be hours. That's hours. 16,228 hours, 40 minutes and 41 seconds, and 676 days, 4 hours, 40 minutes and 35 seconds.
Whew.
For the premiere,
it's a lot of time, Jeff.
We check that every week.
We're gonna have to update that every week, and I think we may have to go in full Spinal Tap costume for this thing. I think we're gonna have to do it.
I'm hoping that we're gonna see advertisements, but you know what? They're gonna ruin it for us, and it'll be a home release or something.
If that's the case, we pick one house and we will go there. Thank you, honey, to watch it because there's nothing. We all have to be in the same room to watch the Spinal Tap sequel. The movie that I never thought would be made.
I totally agree.
So, and considering that Hussein Hubbins nearly died in a car crash a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yes, Michael McKean had a really bad car accident, nearly died.
Oh, shit.
So this is a luck in the making, but to think that our favorite characters will be brought to life again, I am beyond pumped up. I want to see who the drummer is. Who's the official drummer? Will it be multiple drummers in the movie? Lots of stuff coming up on this one, Jeff, down the line.
I would love to see them try out a few drummers.
Yes. Yes.
No, have a couple different guys come down, but then all of them get offered the job and all of them turn around and say that the reason they're turning it down is because of their past track record and what happens to their,
yes,
their drummers.
And then, you know, is there a sequel, Jeff, my mind just got blown. New songs, maybe a sequel to Big Bottom.
Maybe.
Oh,
I mean, how do you approach a sequel?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't know. But I can only hope. See, most bands, when they put out an album nowadays, it comes up nothing close to what the original was. Right? We always talk about it. I can only pray, dear God, please give this to us, that this next Spinal Tap album, because there will be a Spinal Tap album, is as good as the first.
I'm sure it will be.
Oh.
But then, you know, with such albums as Shit Sandwich.
Yes, Shock Sandwich.
And a few others that have come out that have been spotty at best.
Yes. But you know,
the originals and the new originals. And,
oh, my God. This is just huge news right now. Like, I can't even express how excited I am about this whole thing.
To agree with you.
Yep. So, but we'll see. We got a lot of time to cover this over the next few years. Hopefully, there'll be some promotions. Maybe we'll get lucky on getting somebody on the show. But you know, we can only dream. So let's all look forward to that.
I mean, you're gonna have to take one more swing at the fence with this one.
Oh, I will take 10 swings at the fences on this one, because now they're all doing stuff. Before, it was just one member, you know, Mr. Derek Smalls, doing some stuff. Now all of them might be doing stuff. So somehow, some way, we have to make that work.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I agree. Totally agree.
All right, well, let's kick off the show. Now that Jeff is just, the shock is there, I'm going to make sure there's backgrounds for this on the show. But now that Jeff has officially woken up the show, we're going to go for another 40 minutes. Jeff, how was your week?
Does it matter at this point in time, Tom?
Well, it does, because you know, now we're really kicking off the show. But
everything that led up to that moment a few minutes ago was just filler.
I almost can't agree with you more, Jeff. I had a good week. I had a good weekend. I, if you didn't know, I hit the long shot at the Kentucky Derby.
Nice.
In fact, I'm going to play a little of that for you. Did you watch the Kentucky Derby at all? It was a lot of fun. Let me see if I can stop sharing.
No, because I'll be honest with you.
Go ahead.
My wife was away this weekend, so it was just me and the dog hanging and a lot of napping.
Nice.
A lot of pizza, a lot of good stuff.
Okay. Well, let's see. I got the race up on the screen. And if you notice it, you'll see my horse is all the way in the back. See how far back he is?
That's where he was.
Here's the horse.
You got to stop this and play it from that turn. Then.
Okay, hold on.
And with the volume on.
Oh, okay.
Announcement on this one.
Okay, so let me bring it back a little bit. Okay, and here you go, Jeff. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Once again, we're ready for a start.
Too far.
Bit down toward the
How long
inside.
Is the race?
A minute and a half, 2 minutes.
And farther out and close to the
let it ride, man. I want to hear this.
All right.
On the outside. Zozos, as they race by us for the first time. It will be Summers tomorrow to lead the way. Brown Pride on the outside, second. Messier follows in third. Zozos fourth. Cyberknife is Smith to the outside.
By the way, one of the horses was named Messier, which I almost bet on, but I didn't.
I'm such glad you didn't.
I'm such glad I didn't.
But it's Kaba.
Oh, no, that's not true. I did. Last minute, I threw $5 on Messier. Last minute.
Behind them, Emerson finds himself in mid-pack here. Hyder, Medina, smile happy next, and then send him to the inside and wide of Mario. Last at Causeway is after that, followed by Tawny Port.
Now, 16 Cyberknife is the horse I originally bet on.
Rich Strike, O'Donnell to the inside, and there's the two trailers of the stretcher, Barber Road and Happy Jack. That opening half mile was, blazing fast. 45.36 seconds for Summer is Tomorrow, who heads up the backstretch in front with Japan's Crown Pride right alongside. And Messier goes up in between those two. The piece continues to be hot. Zozos is next after three quarters in 1 minute, 10 and 4 foot seconds. And now Epicenter comes splitting horses and is moving up quickly as Crown Pride takes the lead around the far turn. It is Crown Pride battling with Messier. They're stride for stride. Epicenter and Zozos in behind them. Cyberknife sweeps up on the outside. Stanton gets the rail run, and they're into the stretch. And it's Messier, Crown Pride, and Epicenter is coming up on the outside. Epicenter has taken the lead as they arrive into the final furlong. Stanton is coming after him. Epicenter and Stanton, these two, stride for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. They're coming down to the wire. Epicenter, Stanton, Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh, my goodness, the longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike has done it in a stunning, unbelievable upset.
Ah, yes, let's see. Let's see if they have that.
Immediately to the early lead. And Summer is Tomorrow had a great start and
Guess not. All right, hey. The overhead view is just amazing for where this show, this horse started. And where he finished, it's amazing. What the hell am I?
Time now for our White Claw race. What you guys see is
getting from the 21 post down into the inside going into the first turn.
All right.
First of all, he did a fantastic job, Sonny Leone, getting from the 21 post down into the inside going into the first turn. And now this is going into the far turn. He had moved around one horse. He's in the two path right now, and he's going to move around one horse that doesn't seem to be running very fast. And he's moving. Right. So Sonny Leone, guys.
I mean, look where he is at this point, Jeff.
Now he really starts to accelerate, and he'll move.
Yeah, I see him. And he's in a log jam.
Yeah. Now they're all talking about these horses up here, and he's just quietly sneaking up. It just as he gets there, all the horses are moving.
Everybody moved off to the side.
Yeah.
This guy just come running up the side, man. Holy shit.
Look at this move right there.
He's probably the fastest horse on the track right now.
Yeah.
Evidently because he finished in first place, but compared to what everybody else is doing, this guy must have had like a fucking overpower.
A lightning strike.
And not for nothing, he pretty much just made it.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of us were focused on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like everybody was watching every other horse but this one, and at the last second, this guy just snuck up there and took it. And, listen, he almost ran out of track. He won by 3/4 of a length, so it's...
That's all right.
I was...
How many lengths, doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly right. You're 100% right. So it was funny because we were watching the race and I had Cyberknife and he was hanging in there for the longest time. And I had Messier $5. We would have won like 30, 40 bucks. And I bet on another horse, Donegal. That would have won a couple of $100. So, yeah, I bet, total, I bet like $75, I think it was, on all the horse, like three different horses. And the race ends, and I go, my wife goes, I guess we didn't win. I went, I think we won. I said, I think we had that horse. She goes, no, come on. She says, why would you bet the long shot like that? I said, I think I just threw $10 on it for the hell of it. And sure enough, $10, 101.
First, I would have informed her right there that we did not bet on the horse. I bet on the horse.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, ain't it?
We didn't win. I won.
Yeah.
Okay. If Messier won a few bucks, I'll give you those shillings just to be nice. But
yeah.
The meat and potatoes of this is coming to me.
No, I'll tell you. I went to bet this early in the morning. I usually use DraftKings. It's a very easy site to use. But DraftKings didn't have any Derby odds up. So I don't know if they had action on the Derby. It didn't make any sense to me. but I couldn't find a way to bet the Derby. So I went to our friend Rafael Esparza's mybookie.ag. Very, very hard to maneuver the site. I'm going to have to admit, I will never lie. But I wound up getting the bets in, and I think that's part of the reason why I actually won is because I mistakenly hit the wrong button and put a bet in on a horse I didn't really want. Turned out okay, so I'll take it. But didn't go exactly the way I wasn't preparing to bet the $10 on the long shot. It just happened that way. So but yet I have still yet to collect my money. My money has not shown up in my bank account yet, by the way. So I did, and you know the funny part is I sent Rafael a message after saying I had removed some of the coins from his pool, and I've yet to hear back from Rafael. He has kind of ignored my comments.
Really?
Yeah, I was a little surprised myself, my friend.
Wow.
So, but you know, it is what it is. No,
good.
No, it said my transaction being in process, so we'll see how that works out, and I'm sure I'll be able to collect my funds sooner or later, but I would not say my draft, my booking.ag experience has not necessarily been a great one so far.
Wow.
Yep. So we'll see what happens, but we're having some fun right here for a little while. Big news at the top of the show. Jeff opened up the show and completely blew my mind with the reference that Spinal Tap will, my favorite movie of all time. And a show we built, a movie we built the show around a little bit here. We'll be back with a sequel in a year and a half. Jeff has the clock working, so we'll be getting periodic updates from Jeff with each show. And I would tell you it's going to be an impetus to keep this show alive for sure, no matter what until that point comes. And, of course, Jeff and I will organize a big outing for the boys if this is a release somewhere in the New York City area. I don't think this is a full release in movie theaters. I got to be honest. I think you're going to be a few select ones.
I don't know. We got to have to see what happens.
It's big news on the show, Jeff. Big news. But there's other big news this week, Jeff. And the big news was your boy, Thomas Brady, already has signed the biggest contract in the history of announcers. With a 10-year, $375 million contract to be the number one analyst for Fox Sports when his playing days are done. Now, Jeff, I think this is kind of bittersweet for you, right? You hate to hear that Tom Brady's making money and he's going to be the highest paid guy by a lot, but it means that there is on the horizon Tom Brady retiring from playing football.
Listen, I don't care if he makes $1 skillion a day. I don't care. I just don't want to see him play football anymore. And I prefer that he ends his career with a, injured. I
tell you, want him to go out?
Yeah, yeah.
Crushed legs, broken larynx.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question. No, I'm a big Brady guy, you know that. And I think he's, the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. And, he the guy just can he's the Derek Jeter of quarterbacks, Just the guy might not be the most talented guy I've ever seen in my life, but he wins football games. But I will not turn on a Fox game just to hear Tom Brady do the game. Why is Fox paying him $37 million a year to broadcast games? It's ridiculous.
It's the quarterback factor, Tom. Everybody wants a quarterback, and they're all going to run out and they're going to get a quarterback one way or another. First, the guy has the most NFL championships and all the records he holds. So just think about him being in the studio and people that are going to be fighting over this to get him and what it's going to do for ratings for some of these networks. So it's like they had to get him. They had no choice. They're going to make that money back. One way or another, they're making the money back that they're paying him.
Listen, you're not giving the guy the money unless you know. Obviously, your commercials will be worth more money. Fox has two of the next three Super Bowls. So I think starting with this year, and I'll tell you this, if Tom Brady's not playing in the Super Bowl this year, he will be part of the broadcast. He might not be the lead guy. He may be in the studio. Tom Brady will be part of this Super Bowl broadcast somehow, some way, if he's not playing in the game.
Yeah, that is possible. And I mean, I couldn't care less where he is at the time when the Super Bowl comes.
Right.
As long as he's not in the Super Bowl, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, gotcha. But it's big news. I mean, it's to me, it's just more stupidity for the networks. I don't care if Tom Brady does football games. I love Tom Brady, but I'm not tuning in a game just to hear Tom Brady. Now, the first one, I'll tune in no matter what game he's doing if it's on, and I'm sure it will be a national game, and you will all get to hear it. But don't think for a second anybody out there, if Tom Brady's doing a game and there's a better game on CBS or I can get another Fox game, and I'll tune into that game. I don't really care. I just don't know why the networks seem to think that the more money they spend on these guys, the more chance that we're going to tune in and watch.
Listen, I hope that Brady is one of the worst announcers ever in the history of the NFL. I hope every game is a Lions game, and I hope they play the equally next worst team.
Oh, boy.
I hope after every game when he goes to leave the stadium, he slips and falls, and he hits the back of his head on the curb somewhere while he's getting into his limo.
Mm-hmm.
That would make it almost so much better.
It would almost make it so much better. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I hope he does a lot of rating games for the half men.
The half men. Listen, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how it's going to work. They're throwing the money. They're throwing the money at it. Let's see if it works out for them. I would imagine that Tom Brady will be part of this year's Super Bowl broadcast somehow, some way, whether he's third man in the booth, whether he's doing studio work. Tom Brady will be part of this year. As long as he's not playing in the game, Tom Brady will be part of this.
Do you think that, I mean, this is just a long shot.
Yep.
But the half man,
mm-hmm.
would he be interested in buying a TV box at this point in time?
A TV box? I just got that. Right now, I would not doubt that he might be interested in a TV box over a warm Subway grating. Yes. I have not seen the half man in a couple weeks, but he was a very downed half man when I saw him.
Yeah.
Yes, the half man is very sad. Very sad right now, so.
Well, I hope that changes.
Oh, I hope so. I told him to try to get involved with the show and kind of be part of things, but I have not heard from him since that last time. So,
is he swimming in gin?
No, but I can tell he was leaving one place to head to swim in some gin. So, yes, he would be dog paddling in a cut in the mug nearest you. So I'm sure anybody was at Griff's after he left me at the old Armory Inn, I'm sure that's where he was.
With no life jacket?
No life jacket.
Oh, man.
No life jacket, yep. So
wow.
The half man was a little down. No wedding coming up. The wedding has been canceled and all that good stuff. So.
Sorry, half man.
Yeah, Jeff, to talk about the NFL, I mean, now the schedule's out. We'll talk a little about the schedule. There's been some talk of a second team in Dallas. The NFL, seems that they think there's enough. I mean, now listen, there's two teams in New York or New Jersey, a couple in California. In fact, they're sharing a stadium. You know, it's not unprecedented to have two teams in the same city. Any thoughts on the NFL expanding into a city they're already in?
I don't know about Dallas, but why, the Dallas Cowboys are kind of an iconic team.
Yep.
You know, the New York Jets and Giants were together for years, but the Cowboys, I don't know, is there room for another team in Dallas? I don't think so.
I don't know. That's a great question. I would think they got a stranglehold on the area. Can't imagine there's enough fans there that would be interested in rooting for an alternative Dallas team.
What are they going to call the team?
I didn't get that far. They were just kind of bantering around. There was some talk of people wanting to get a second team in the market that they feel that Jerry Jones would not be opposed to the idea because that would at that point put 16, 17 football games in the stadium, and he owns the stadium. It would make him a lot more money. But I would think at this point the guy's got plenty of cash. I can't imagine he's looking to share the spotlight. And could you imagine getting a team in there and then being better than Dallas and what that would do?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? Previous expansion teams have proved that there's little to any chance of that ever happening. So.
Oh, listen. Like I said, you know, nowadays it doesn't take long to think about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think in their second or third year was in the AFC Championship game. You know,
and they blew their load. And
no, listen, I'm agreeing. It's not the same as when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Seahawks came into the league, and it took them years and years and years to rebuild to build rosters. You know, nowadays these teams get in there quick, and they're given a big opportunity. So, listen, anything's possible. I think it's crazy. I think if you're gonna expand any more in football, which I hope they don't do it. I got to be honest. I think where they're at is enough. I mean. You know,
yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't like it either.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, it's hard enough now to field teams that are competitive. I mean, the football we're watching now, if we really look at it, is, you know, kind of substandard.
On some levels it is, yeah. But you know what? If there's money to be made, somebody's going to attempt to try to make it.
Of course. Listen, you're going to get billions of dollars for a team buying into the league. You know, the owners are going to split all that money. But, you know, you're also going to divide the TV money more. But, you know, again, more jerseys, more of all that stuff. And by the way, if you're buying any NFL gear, make sure you check out SundayAudible.com and check out all links to Fanatics and, you know, buy your new gear here. Whether you're a Giant fan and you want to get the new Kayvon Thibodeau jersey, number 5, sparkling jersey, or the burnt sauce jersey for the Jets. You can get either one of them on SundayAudible.com, and you can buy your stuff through that and help the boys out here. So,
$50,000 to charity for that number.
Yes, yeah, it's not unheard of. I've seen guys pay $250,000 to get their jersey. Yeah, Graham Gano gave it up for a $50,000 donation to a pit bull I think it was a pit bull, but it was. Money goes to an organization that provides service dogs to veterans.
Yeah.
Good job for both of those guys. I think that's a good job by them where the money wound up. So good thing for them. Anybody watching the Rangers? Great win by the Rangers last night to get back into this series. I don't know if you're watching any of the hockey, Jeff, but there was a. It's been a bad couple of games for the Rangers and a bad start to the game, and came back from 2-0 down to win 5-4 last night at the Garden to send the game to game 6 in Pittsburgh.
I don't know much of what's going on because I didn't follow hockey all year round. I haven't followed hockey in years. I noticed the Rangers weren't exactly a bad team this year.
Not a very good team.
But I would imagine that they weren't Pittsburgh wasn't as good as the Rangers all year round. Is that the way I'm...
pretty much, yeah, pretty much. The Rangers had a very good year. You know, Pittsburgh's a little older, and they made the playoffs, and they weren't expected to out-duel the Rangers. But to this point, the experience of the Penguins has outplayed the Rangers.
But see what happens. It ain't over till it's over.
No, they knocked Sidney Crosby out of the game, which is a good thing. I think he has a concussion, so who knows if he'll play tomorrow night. But a good win for the Rangers, and the Garden was electric. I gotta tell you something. There's nothing better than playoff hockey, man. Holy cow, the place was electric. It was. They were on every pass of the puck, every knock on the boards. So good job by them last night. So we'll keep you posted on that for next week's show. Let's talk a little bit. We're going to get to a little bit of Jets and Giants, Jeff, and win totals. Let me see here. One of the publications, yeah, had the odds for Jets and Giants wins total for the year. Now, look, he's getting serious. He took his glasses off. He's getting ready for this one. You ready for this one, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay, so. The first thing I can do is I'm going to give you win totals, and then if you're interested, I can bring up the Jets' schedule for the year, and we can figure out how many wins and losses you really think they're going to have for both teams.
We could do that, but I already know.
You already know? Okay. All right, well, According
to go undefeated at 17-0.
Oh boy,
this season.
Here we go. So, all right. So, if you were being realistic, which I know you're not going to be, what do you think the win total that Las Vegas has for the New York Jets? Not your win total. What do you think Las Vegas thinks the Jets are going to win this year?
7.
Not even close. Not even close.
Whatever you say.
I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. It tells you the win total expected is 5.5. 5.5 wins for the Jets.
And if you read it, it's 7.
What do you think the odds are the Jets to win the AFC East? 20-1, 50-1, 100-1, million to one?
It was probably about 30-1.
No, much better than that, actually. 18-1.
There you go.
Not too bad. Not as bad as I thought.
It's a team on the move, man.
All right. And the odds for the Jets to make the playoffs, that's a little tougher to do because they gave you plus 700 to make the playoffs. Now we'll go to the New York Football Giants, the elite franchise in the New York area. 4-time Super Bowl winner, 8-time championship winner in the NFL, 8-time NFL champion. Jeff, what do you think Vegas thinks? Not what Jeff thinks. What do you think Vegas thinks the Giants will do this year?
3.5.
You're not even close. The expected win total for the New York Football Giants is 7.5.
I doubt that.
7.5.
You could add last year, the year before, and
7.5. Experts have ruled 7.5.
Okay.
The odds to win the NFC East for the Giants is plus 700, which is not very good. So
no, it's not, is it?
No, but that's okay. Do you want to review schedules, or you're okay? They did release the schedule a little bit today. The Giants will be playing on Thanksgiving Day against the Cowboys in the marquee matchup of the day.
You know what? I'm happy that that's the before 4 o'clock game.
Why is that?
I usually watch the Lion game.
Yep.
Then eat. Then I'm done till later that night. So the best thing that could ever happen is these two teams play one another in the middle of the day while I'm passed the fuck out.
So you're gonna be sleeping while the Giants are winning all over that day?
They're not gonna be winning all over, probably.
Oh yes.
Their fucking season is gonna be like 2-whatever at that point in time. It is over. Over.
So they have the ranked schedule this year, Jeff, based on strength of schedule. So as you would imagine, the Rams would have the toughest schedule. The teams combined 2021 winning percentage is 567, well over 500. So the Rams have the hardest schedule. I'm going to give you a chance to give me the last 5 toughest, five easiest schedules in football. Okay?
You're asking me?
Yep. So give me the teams that you think are going to have the 5 easiest schedules in football based on opponents' winning percentage.
Probably Tampa Bay.
Nope. You got to go to the other end of the spectrum. That one team's going to surprise you. The other teams make sense. But go ahead.
I know it ain't the Jets.
No, the Jets are actually tied at 17. Jets have a halfway decent tough schedule. They're tied with the Browns for 17.
Probably maybe the Bengals.
Nope. The Bengals have... where are the Bengals? I don't even see them up here. Hold on a second. Cincinnati. Oh, they're the third hardest schedule in football.
Really?
Buccaneers are the fourth hardest schedule, then the 49ers and the Chiefs. So give me the teams that have the easiest schedule. I don't care what order you yell them out. I'm going to give them to you.
I'm trying to think, and I'll tell you the truth.
I think of bad teams.
The Bears?
Nope. The Bears are sitting at 24.
Texans?
Nope, Jeff. You're not even close. Texans are at 19.
Jesus, I have no idea.
All right, well, number 28 is the Lions. The Lions have a combined schedule for their teams from last year are 135 and 154. At 29 is the New York Football Giants have the 29th easiest schedule on the map, 465. The Eagles, the 30th win percentage, 133, 154. And then tied for the last place in the easiest schedules in football, the Washington Communists and the Dallas Cowgirls. So the NFC East are 29, 30, 31, and 31, which is a tie. So the NFC East has the easiest schedule in football this year.
Wow.
Playoff bound, baby. Playoff bound.
Please stop.
My team is playoff bound.
You don't even have a fucking quarterback.
How about, that's part of the talking about tonight. So that's on Easter, on Christmas Day, for the first time ever, there will be three football games played, Jeff. Three football games. Now, you're a big Christmas guy. You're up in the morning. You're watching your shows. You're opening your gifts. You watching football on Christmas?
Definitely not.
Really?
Yeah, because I go out Christmas. I got to go to my mother's. So, no, I can't say that I'll be watching football on Christmas Day.
See, for me, I'm homebound. I'll be watching football all day. Oh, I'm loving every second of this one. Now, I didn't see the games. Let's see. I'm trying to get this guy. I haven't announced the official schedule yet, so I don't know who's playing when. But I do believe Thanksgiving Day, though, Jeff, should be a fairly interesting day of football. I think it's Lions early, then Cowboys, Giants, and then I think the late game is Cardinals, Rams. Not a bad day of football.
Who are the Lions playing again?
I don't know if they've announced who the Lions is. It might be the Bears. It could be the Vikings. So that first game is usually a bad one.
I find the Bears to be a boring team to watch.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
I never liked watching the Bears.
Well, you go back to the days of Walter Payton. I got into watching them, but I can't say that today I would call that a busy day. But, you know, a lot of football. I mean, especially on the holidays now. Our three cities are going to be hosting football games on Christmas Day. Do you think a lot of people? And being Christmas is a Sunday, there's going to be a full slate of games on Christmas Eve. So it's interesting. Do you think? I know in the years past, you know, the stadiums are full, but, you know, I got to tell you, Christmas Day games has never been.
I think they said that there was Christmas Day games in the past.
Yeah, but like one game.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, they're just so hell-bent on making money, Tom. They don't care.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, I guess if you get an empty stadium someplace, they may rethink it for the future, but, you know, it's not going to happen all the time. So I guess, you know, and again, I guess it's going to matter, I guess, what games?
I don't think the games are going to be empty games simply because they're going to turn around. People are going to be getting tickets as presents.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? And they're going to be going and... I myself would not want to go to a football game on Christmas Day.
I would agree with you on that. I would not. The last time I remember watching a football game on Christmas Eve, now I'm sure maybe it's happened after this, but was the famous Victor Cruz 99-yard touchdown against the Jets on Christmas Eve, breaking one Rex Ryan's heart and the Giants making the playoffs. We all remember that great play when Victor Cruz went 99 yards to seal Rex Ryan's fate.
Victor now? Does he? I heard he drives for Lyft. He's not even in the NFL. He's not even an announcer. He may work for the studio, the stadium, doing parking.
Well, next week we'll be breaking down the entire schedule. There's a lots of crazy games. We'll get to see maybe the last time that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady go head-to-head. That'll happen this year. I already know that the Giants will be in London, I think in week 5, if I'm not mistaken, to face the Packers in a road game. Wink Martindale, the new Giant defensive coordinator, will face off against his team of 10 years, the Ravens. They'll play this year. So that'll be an interesting matchup. Wink Martindale.
You named Wink.
That's actually a nickname. Yeah, his name is Don Martindale, but they call him Wink after the old game show host. So there's lots to talk about there. We'll get to all of those. Let's see. I think the Seahawks are obviously facing the Broncos. That's a division team. That should be an interesting matchup. Just going through some of the highlights here. The AFC West has a very difficult schedule because they're playing each other. The Browns, that's about it for the schedule, Jeff. So interesting. I mean, your Jets have a fairly tough schedule in a very tough division and an extremely tough conference.
Very tough schedule.
Yeah, we'll go and we'll break them down. We'll break down both teams next week. We'll do that for sure as we continue the countdown to the March 19, 2024 sequel to the greatest movie I ever watched, Spinal Tap. Jeff and I are looking forward to that. Jeff, let me ask you this question in all seriousness. So all the news I've read the last couple of weeks about the Giants has the pundits constantly talking about that Daniel Jones will not be the Giant quarterback next year, that he will definitely be a failure this year, who the Giants should draft. Why does the media hate Daniel Jones?
Oh, man. I've been waiting to answer this one.
I
would say it's because he's a bad quarterback, Tom, whether you want to believe this or not. He's a bad quarterback. He fumbles a lot. He's got troubles holding on to the ball. He's just not an NFL caliber quarterback.
Steer ride the best east with the Northeast Mountain Pack.
Sorry about that.
Shown some brains for change and distancing themselves from this guy. I mean, they still have the chance to pick him up and sign him if he has a good year, but 3 years have already proven that chances are year four and beyond aren't going to be, the greatest.
Well, he had a decent rookie season. I mean, there was a lot too many interceptions and fumbles, but he threw for a lot of touchdowns. He had a couple injuries. He had a bad offensive line, multiple offensive coordinators and head coaches. I think you got to give the kids a chance, but I mean, your boy Zach Wilson's been getting nothing but love. He's much improvement. He's going to be ready for this year, and my boy Daniel Jones is getting nothing but hostility. They're already writing him off. They already got the Giants trading for to move up in the draft and to get a better quarterback.
Now listen, I don't know if that's what their plan is, but I know this much: I think it's smart football. If you don't feel as though that the guy is the answer for this year and beyond, then why sign him to the fifth-year option?
I agree.
Keeping him under caps. You'd always got – you know what I could see them doing with him? They could turn around and hit him with the franchise tag a couple times, if that's the case, if they keep him that way.
Sure. Absolutely. And listen, it's very possible. I don't blame Joe Shane. This isn't his draft pick. And I don't think Daniel Jones has done enough. I think he's done some good things, but not being able to stay healthy, the Giants not winning enough, and even though he's gotten better with ball security, it's still not good enough. So I wouldn't have signed him to the 50-year deal. I completely agree. And if he goes out there and aces it, he gets a big contract, and the Giants have their future quarterback. If not, we'll be talking about who they draft in draft next year.
Yeah, I know that they already did a mock draft for 2023, and it's way, way too early.
Oh yeah, to
even think about that. But is that the way you think they're going to want to go? Do you think? I don't know what their status is next year for draft picks, but do you think they're in a position where that they could get a quarterback through the draft? Is it wise for them to do that?
Listen, everybody talks about this. Next year's crop is better. There's a couple of guys that might be better, but I don't think there's a guy. Again, the season plays out. Who knows who does well? To me, if you're the Giants, you have to hope that Daniel Jones at least resembles a starting football player. He'll be, that's what you want. If you're the Giants, you don't want to start all over again next year. What you're hoping for is that Daniel Jones does enough and this team wins enough games and he plays better and he resembles a football player. And I think he will. I honestly, I won't predict it yet, but I predict this team will be better and he will be better. But we'll see. I like the offensive line. I like the weapons around him. So I think he'll be better. And if he's not, You know, we'll have Tyrod Taylor and a new draft pick in 23.
I just don't like some of their moves that they did. I don't know. I just don't like it.
Well, you know what, Jeff, and you know what, you're not wrong but they were hamstrung. There was only so much they can do with the salary cap that they were left. Now, listen, if Jones works out, if Barkley turns the corner and becomes the player he's supposed to be, if Andrew Thomas plays well this year like he did last year and gets even better, you know, not for nothing, but the Dave Gettleman legacy won't be as bad as people think.
It's going to be worse.
No, I disagree.
The overall body of work, and it's going to be more than just Daniel Jones. He ain't going to be able to do anything to save it, not unless he starts winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl.
Well, I'm saying is if Daniel Jones takes the next step and the Giants sign him to another contract and Andrew Thomas continues to get better and Barkley's better and the Giants are a little better this year, you know, you can at least look back and say, hey, he didn't leave them in terrible shape. Not just, you know, obviously if it goes the opposite way, it'll be bad. He left them terrible financial shape. You know, if Kadarius Toney plays well, you know, if some of these things come through, Dave Gettleman's legacy won't be as bad as it's written right now.
I don't know. I got to disagree, Tom. I think you got to look at some of the other things that he did. Wasn't he the GM when Landon Collins left?
Yes. Which turned out to be a good move.
All right. But you didn't even try to trade him. At least they tried to trade this cornerback.
Yes, they tried to trade Bradbury, yes.
Then he leaves. He's in New York. Man, what the fuck? I can't think of the name. Oh, Leonard Williams.
Yep.
Signing him, I think, was a bad deal. I don't think that's panned
out.
I
think Leonard Williams on a better team, you would say it's a great move. The problem is Leonard Williams, it costs you a lot of money for a guy who played exceptionally well 2 years ago and played okay last year. Yeah. So, again, if this team was a Super Bowl bound team or a playoff bound team, and you add Leonard Williams, I would pat you on the back and say. But right now, he's probably hamstrung them with that contract.
With Leonard Williams, okay, he had a pretty good season 2 years ago.
Yep.
But he's put that behind him in the rearview mirror, and the next year he played horrible, and he just doesn't seem to, you know, play good. And when he was on the Jets, we were always waiting for him to have that big game and just never came. And that's why the Jets got rid of him. They needed a defensive end and defensive line, and they ended up getting rid of him because that's how bad he was.
Yeah, I think he's not a guy who's going to get you 20 sacks a year. He's not that. But
he's definitely through that.
No, but again, he's had more sacks than you think of, and he's phenomenal against the run, and he's a great guy in the locker room. Again, at a better contract, I would say it's a great deal. But because they gave him a lot of money, I think it was 18 or 19 million a year for a team that's, you know, starving cap wise. Yeah, I that could go the wrong way. But you know, I think if three big pieces of this turnaround, I think Dave Gettleman's legacy could be at least it won't be as terrible. He'll be allowed in the stadium. They might not burn him in effigy.
You would have. Saquon Barkley is going to have a career year this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's not going to happen. You're going to miss some time due to some nagging injuries. You're going to see that. Kadarius Toney, you know, a lot of people say, like, well, you hear all of this bad stuff about him now, that he's not good, he's not a good teammate.
Yeah, listen.
You know, and didn't he have some kind of issue with a car or something? Maybe it's somebody else.
Maybe somebody else. I don't think that was him.
I think he had some issue where the car broke down on him or something stupid. I don't remember what it was exactly, but, you know, it just, I don't know, too many questions. No matter, even if you got some decent answers, there's just too many questions asked about what you were doing. So I just don't see it being, you know, a good thing. And even now, just Saquon Barkley, all right, a lot of people say, well, he was a second round first-round pick, second pick in the first round.
Yep.
And they picked too high and everything else. And you know me, I like to say, if that's the player that you wanted or the guy that you thought was for you, then you got to take him regardless of what position he plays and where he is.
Agreed.
So they thought that he was better than any quarterback in the league that year.
And he might not be wrong. I mean, think about the quarterbacks at that point. Mayfield and Darnold And you know, other than Josh Allen, and everybody kind of missed on Josh Allen for the most part.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, you just got to look at it overall, and there's just so many questions overall. Questionable signings with Williams and Solder.
Oh, yeah.
You let people go without even trying to get something from Landon Collins. You drafted players that get hurt in Jones and Barkley. I just think that, further away that they can get from the Gettleman years, the happier that a lot of people are going to be with that team.
I'm not, you know what, I'm not going to disagree with it, but I'll say this. If Andrew Thomas becomes the left tackle, a franchise player for the next 10 years, and Daniel Jones is their quarterback going forward the next 5 years, and Saquon Barkley is three-quarters of what he was in his rookie year, Dave Gettleman's legacy won't be as bad as people thought because he was panned on every one of those picks. You know, people said he took the wrong left tackle. You know, now, you know, Mekhi Becton, who knows if he's even going to play. Werf's been good. The other tackles have been okay. You know, so if he pans out, if Jones pans out, and then Barkley does well, if Tony ever played well or played like he did in the couple of games that he was healthy and it seemed interested, Dave Gettleman's legacy won't be as bad as people think. I'm not saying, listen, he won no championships. The team barely won five games during it. He mishandled Eli Manning's end of his career, but you know he could leave a legacy with three or four players. So we'll see.
I don't know. I think you're reaching for something. The guy is gone now. Let it go.
I'm just saying. We shall see. That's all I can say.
He's going to have a legacy, all right. It's going to be one that nobody ever wants to be connected to.
You know what? And you may be 100% correct. You really might be. You might be 100% correct that at the end of the day, nobody may want to ever be associated with Dave Gettleman again. But if three or four players in a couple of key spots work out for the benefit of the team, you won't look back. People will say, well, you know what? He was smarter than we thought with these four guys. I mean, there's not many other guys left on this team that he drafted at this point. I mean, a lot of them are going to be gone. There's going to be a big fire sale. Bradbury's gone. He was a free agent.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't get anybody for him. But once you put yourself out there in a certain spot, nobody's going to become a trade partner with you for something like that.
No, you're right. It's going to be
for the moment to get him once you release him.
No, listen, 100% right. Jeff, one last thing I want to talk about tonight before we close it up, because I'm fighting it right now, is I can't tell you how excited about this BioNTap thing is. The members of Priest going into the Hall of Fame, are you interested in knowing who's going in as a member of Priest?
No, I would imagine it's going to be Halford and Ian and Scott Travis.
Yep.
And Glenn Tipton.
Yep.
And I know that KK Downing wants to go in, but I don't believe he's going to play.
I don't know. I have not seen whether or not they have talked about playing, and I thought I saw Halford basically say that it's fine, but I have not seen confirmation. But he will be going in as a member of Judas Priest. Whether he plays or not, I don't know. There's still two other guys that are also going in with the band.
Who, Richie Faulkner? And,
Nope.
Les Binks?
Yep, Les Binks. Right? Yep, Les Binks will be going in as a full-time member of Judas Priest. Yep.
Wow. I don't know who else.
Dave Holland.
Really? They're putting him in?
Dave Holland will be going in as a member of Judas Priest in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yes. Three drummers, wow. Scott Travis, Les Binks, and Dave Holland. Will all be going in as members of Judas Priest. They've been they've talked about what songs to play, and what the rumor is, and I think this is happening in either September or November. It will be determined on what songs Glenn Tipton can play.
Okay.
So now the question becomes: let's say everybody's happy, they're all standing on the stage together, but Halford or Ian Hill or Glenn Tipton, for that matter, say, hey, I'm not playing with KK. He can't play. Do they bring in Richie Faulkner to play, you know, in the band? Because, you know, Tipton can't do it by himself anymore, and we all know Priest is a two-guitar band. Or do you think they're going to relent and let him play. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that KK will be playing songs during that.
I think they have to.
Yeah.
I think they have to.
Yeah. So they, but they, you know, KK said he has his own set list in his head, but he thinks it's best that it's picked by Glenn Tipton, and he determines what songs play based on what he can stamina wise play.
I like that KK Downing actually even has the balls to say something.
The man was asked a question.
You know, I understand that. That you have a set list in your head.
Yeah.
It should be like, one, you should be thankful enough after all the bullshit that's been going on for years.
Yeah.
Be grateful enough if they even ask you to play. That's one thing.
Yep.
And if they do ask you to play, you should say, I'll play whatever you want me to play. And hopefully for the fans, with Glenn Tipton obviously not being able to go up to touring standard.
Mm-hmm.
Should, you know, just bury it and let's get on with it and, you know, maybe come out and do one last show. And, I mean, how much longer is Priest going to be around?
Can't imagine it's much longer, Jeff, to be honest with you. I mean, they're getting into their 70s if they're not in their 70s. I would imagine, you know, this is what, their 50th run? They're going out on their 50th tour right now because I think it was postponed, so... Yeah, I can't imagine it's much more. This is huge news that they're going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that obviously this is probably the first. No, it's not the first metal band from England, obviously, because Sabbath's in there and Zeppelin's in there. This is big news. This is the album era. This is the first of those guys getting in. So, and KK should be part of it, you know. And hopefully, the original lineup. You know, I guess sans. Is Dave Holland still alive?
He died.
I'm almost positive he died, right?
Yeah.
So you probably have some splitting of the drumming by Les Binks and Scott Travis. Of course, you know.
Dave Holland.
Huh?
I'm pretty sure Dave Holland died.
Yeah, I think so, too. But no bigger news tonight. We could talk about NFL schedules and Tom Brady and all of that, but there's no bigger news than Spinal Tap has resurfaced for the long-awaited and much-needed sequel to the original Spinal Tap, 1984. Will be Marty DeBerge, who is the mockumentary producer and director, made the big announcement that on March 19, 2024, we get that sequel that we've waited for all this time. So,
Dave Holland did die in 2018.
Was it self-inflicted?
No. He had a cancer, I believe.
Okay.
He had January 18, 2018, it was announced that Holland had died a few days previously. No cause of death was provided.
Wow. Interesting. Wow.
Supposedly he died due to lung cancer.
Okay. Now, I would have thought there may have been some, you know, there's always been those rumors about Dave Holland.
I have to investigate that more. I'm going to do that later when we get off the air.
Okay, so we'll get more into that next week and all of that. But you know, listen, we're going to wrap it here. I'm just fighting. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm exhausted and I'm not feeling well tonight. So, but I did want to get on, and I'm glad I did because I got to hear about Spinal Tap, and we had a couple of guests next week. I believe Andy Curran will be returning next week to join us. We got another guest that's name's escaping me right now. But we have a couple of guests next week. We'll talk about the NFL schedule. We'll talk much, much more. I'm going to talk to Jeff about some of the things that we expect. It's going to be a lot of Spinal Tap for a long time. We're going to talk about different things and what we hope. And, boy, I can only hope that at least it's in one theater in New York City because there'll be five or six knuckleheads, maybe drinking a little bit, but definitely hanging out and getting ready to see that in a year and a half.
It has to be.
Yeah, so we'll figure that. If not, it'll be a big dinner in somebody's house, and we'll be watching this on a big screen TV somewhere. So guaranteed, this will happen. And again, I got to know who's the drummer. I got to know how many drummers they have. Does Marty Puffkin show back up? What characters show back up from the old one? Does Duke Fame show up? There's so much.
it's going to be, like you said, a lot of questions.
We have a lot of questions.
We're hoping for some half as many answers.
Oh, well, we'll certainly look forward to that. Absolutely. But, guys, we're going to end it right here. We'll come back next Thursday night, kick it back off again. We're creeping up on our 550th show and 8 years on the air coming in July. So stick around for some news maybe about that. Next week, Jeff will be back off of his 30-day ban. Yeah. So he's looking to get back. Jeff, what will be the first thing you announce on Facebook when you're back? Is it just...
Zuckerberg's a dick. You can mop that fucking shit down right here.
So you're looking to get yourself banned again.
I don't give a fuck. It's Facebook.
Have you felt restricted to get your word out there?
No.
All right.
It's like because nobody even goes on it anymore like they once did.
No, now that the pandemic is over, people are living their life again.
Yeah.
You know, so
a lot of people's lives still evolve around